Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is old friend Connie Stinson. Connie is a veteran of the U.S. Forestry Service. She used to live in a high desert of Southern California in Apple Valley in the Victorville area. So she's quite familiar with the research I've done in that region, and she's had her own experiences there. And she has a lot to share with us. I'm really looking forward to this discussion. So, without any further ado, Connie Stinson, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you for having me, James. I really appreciate this. I think everybody in the world needs to know some of the things that go on in the regular world with regular people, and it needs to be discussed more often. Thank you.
Well, the pleasure is all ours, and the privilege is all ours. Well, tell us a bit about yourself, Connie. Tell us a bit about your background and your upbringing.
Born and raised in Southern California, I had, just a regular childhood of, going to school. I did move around a lot. So I've been all over pretty much the Southern California area. And my experiences pretty much start when I was very young. I would have to say, when I was in Orange County, I had spent time there, had some very strange things in my childhood, and all the way up to moving to the high desert. It's been a lifetime of a lot of unusual experiences, which is why I have gotten into the ghost hunting, aliens, and all that. And I did not start out wanting to.
I understand. Tell us about some of your childhood experiences, and whereabouts in Orange County were you?
When I was born, it was in my parents were in Whittier, and we've had some strange ex my mother and my dad had strange experiences in a house in Whittier. I don't know if it's still there. I don't know if anybody knows where Archway is in Whittier, but apparently there was definitely scary incidents there my mother had told me about. And then I was in, I don't remember hearing any stories about Long Beach. And my grandparents lived in Cypress. There wasn't a whole lot there. Lived in Garden Grove. It wasn't me that had the experiences per se, but my mom sure did.
And what did your mom describe happening to her?
In the house in Archway, there was they got the house really cheap. They were looking for a home. I was a newborn, and they just happened this house, just big, beautiful, three bedroom, two bath, for really, really cheap. And so they took the deal. And when they moved in, things seemed okay for a short period of time, and there was suddenly it sounded like loud rocks were hitting the garage, and they would go out there, there's nothing. Then I think the footsteps, which everybody heard, heavy, heavy footsteps walking around the house while people were visiting, scared them. They didn't come back. And my mom had said the ghost was, or whatever it was very interested in me. It would come into my room. They could hear the footsteps go into my room. My dad doesn't remember this, but he walked into the bedroom just like sleepwalking. And he peed all over my clothes, and my mom couldn't believe he did that, and he didn't remember doing it. The footsteps would stop by my crib, and did just hover there. The scariest thing she said was she was in the kitchen, and she was just cooking, and all of a sudden the door was doing like almost in the movies, it was bowing inward, like it was being pushed from the outside in, and even the windows and everything, they should have broke, but they didn't. And it was just, the door was just, it just was pushing in and bowing in, and she said it was terrifying. She had no idea what that was about. And then it snapped back and never happened again. But a lot of strange things were happening there. And that was as a
I would have run
newborn.
out of the house screaming if I'd seen something like that.
That's what I would have said. They did move very quickly after, and that place was constantly had turnovers, constantly people moving in and moving out within a short period of time. So that was like the very beginning. I know that we had shadow men run in my family. We had my mother had said when she was about 12 in the Sacramento area was the first time she saw a shadow man with a hat, and he had a hat like Sherlock Holmes. And she it was about sunset, and she was walking home from a friend's house when she saw it, and it just the seeing it terrified her, and she fell down and broke her finger and was running away from it. And she went home and she said she never forgot it. But that was the first Shadow Man incident. And the second one I know of is my sister in Sedona, Arizona, another hotbed of things. My grandparents were living there. And my sister had seen a Shadow Man with a hat in the house, and she was terrified of it. That was the first time I had heard of, our generation seeing that. So it scared her. And that was early teens. And by the time I was about 15 or 16, I was in Apple Valley, California, and I had seen a shadow man inside of the house we were in. It was a two-story in Apple Valley, and there was a shadow man in a hat in the bathroom, of all things. I kept seeing it. I'm like in the shower, and I kept opening and closing the shower, and I'm like, what is that? And I didn't feel fear from it. I just thought it was odd. And another time I had seen it was years later, at another house, another shadow. And the hats were like derbies at that time. And it was just strange. They were in the strangest places in the homes. And the very last shadow man with a hat was another home in Apple Valley, the most haunted place I've ever been in. I've been in quite a few. And that one had a giant sombrero. I've never heard of anybody who had a giant sombrero. It would have been comical if it wasn't so terrifying. And there were two children, my sister and I, in that particular house, and it just slammed doors. I mean, three different doors the same night. It just woke everybody up. So we were up all night, and that was the last time I had a shadow man. But there's been quite a few that just seem to happen in the family. It's just odd.
Do you recall what your dreams were like and what your evenings, your sleep time was like back then in Apple Valley in particular?
Sleep has always been a problem for me. I don't sleep that well. I just don't. I'm awake a lot, quite often. And in that particular haunted house, which I have pictures of, that haunted house had a very it was very, very, very active. And that was the only home I had ever been in my life that I had a experience of aliens. And that started my alien thing. And I was in my early 40s then. And that one, there was reptilians involved. There was definitely them and grays. And this is the only time in my life this has ever happened. And I just remember being in my room in there and floating. And I was floating towards the door. There was a grays on either side of me and a reptilian kind of behind. And we were leading towards the hallway. And I was just kind of curious. I just thought, well, maybe this is a dream. Sometimes I have lucid dreams. And as we headed to the hallway, I saw my daughter. And she was floating. And they were heading her towards the hallway. And I freaked out completely. Lost my mind. I was angry and freaking out. My daughter saw me. She was angry and freaking out. And I just remember being put back to bed, and that was it. And strangely enough, my daughter had to say, "Mom, I remember that. I remember that." And they just put us back and they left us alone. So that was interesting.
You were floating. Were you horizontal looking up, or were you like upright, vertical, but your feet were above the ground?
No, horizontal, like lifted up straight up off the bed, like just like a magician, you
Yeah.
know, with the yeah. So I was just straight up and just being led like my feet first towards the hallway. And then I was able to look around, and that's when I saw my daughter, and I just freaked. And they didn't know how to handle that. We were both freaking out. So they just put us back. And I
So
don't
you're both
remember any of
screaming
that.
and yelling, in other words.
Yes, completely freaking out, yes. Yes. So that helped us on that. We didn't go anywhere, I think, but I do think there was a portal in the hallway. That hallway, I can never keep a light bulb in there. They always exploded. And I'm not talking just break, exploded constantly. I was
It
going through light
shattered.
bulbs. Yes. And then my dogs. I had three dogs at the time. It started in September. During the summer, when I first moved there, it was great. No problems. I didn't notice anything. But by that September, my dogs just started howling and barking and just freaking out at 3 a.m. every single night. So yeah, that was a crazy experience. And I would just go out, I would let them outside, and they would be fine. I did notice something strange. I had a clock on the wall, and it was sounded so weird and loud at these t at the about 3 a.m. And I would let the dog, and it would just I would sit down in the living room, and I'm like, "What is up with that clock? It just sounded weird and super loud." Hard to describe. So I would call that high strangeness. It was just very strange. I did have one moment where I woke up in the morning, and mind you, I locked this place up very tight every single night. I locked it up. But I woke up one morning into the kitchen, and it was a poltergeist moment where every single cabinet was open, all of them. And I didn't panic. I didn't freak out. I just closed them all, and it never happened again. So, but it was very strange. Very strange. So I had very strange things like that happen quite often.
Time frame were you in Apple Valley?
That was in 2013. 2013, 2014.
You lived on or near Clallam, right? Clallam. I think that's the name of a Native American tribe.
No, this one was further out towards Lucerne.
Oh, okay.
This one is this one is God, where is it? It's like a major lonely road out there. God, I can't remember the name of it offhand, but it was Desert View was the road. Desert
Yeah.
View. And yeah, it was it was not fun to live there. Don't
Well,
recommend it.
I mean, as of 2000, the last time I was out there, I'd say that would have been late 90s, early 2000s. You can get out to the outskirts pretty quickly, and it's pretty much dust. It's pretty much desert, unless you're heading towards like Victorville way. It's more built up, but yeah,
Yeah, there's
there.
not much out there.
No.
Anyway, there is also while I was working in the Forest Service, I did have some incidents on the job, and because I lived in the barracks in the Angeles National Forest, there's a lot of things that go on out there. There's a lot of people that go up there to do spells. They leave all kinds of weird, disgusting things. They have it's multiple religions, I do believe. A lot of people are in the LA area and they go there to do their various religious magics. I would think there are some that are the Mexican stuff,
Santeria
stuff from
type stuff.
Africa.
Oh yeah, like
Yes.
voodoo and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And there were dead animals often. There would be headless birds more often than anything. There has been known to be goats sacrificed up there. We did come across those. There would be money inside of these things because we would look inside of them to see what was in there. And this is going through cleaning. So we would find this stuff doing that. So to me, there's a lot of weird things out there that's going on with all kinds of peoples. But when I was staying at a barracks, there was a few incidents that were very strange. I don't know if I'm the only one that experienced them. I just, I tried to talk to people about it. They thought I was crazy. I felt like I was going crazy. I did have an incident where I was sleeping in my, I was alone inside the barracks, and it was about 3 a.m. because I had a clock. I could see it very well. It was about 3 a.m. and all of a sudden it just, I heard just grunting and growling and just something huge. It sounded like a bear and it was just trashing the place. I could hear things breaking. I could hear just loud furniture being tossed everywhere. I could hear the washing machines, the dryers being tossed everywhere. I can hear the banging of the tubs, and it just sounded like absolute chaos out there. And I was in my room and I'm getting ready to go out the window. They were tiny windows. I was going to go through them anyway. I was terrified. Just as I was about to go through the window, it got silent. Took about 10 minutes. And I waited and waited. And I peeked out the door and I didn't see anything. So I went through the entire barracks and I turned on every light and there was absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing was touched. It was perfect, just like it, when I went to bed, it was nothing had happened. But wow, they just, and I did find out a year later to that day, there was a bear in there that tore apart the barracks. So that was a
In the
trip.
future, there was a bear that went through
Yes.
there.
Yes, in the future. So it was, I don't know if it was a time anomaly or what, but that was, yeah. And I did, I told other people about it. They just thought I was crazy. And then there was the incident of there was another room in the barracks that had like 8 beds. The room I was in only had 2 beds in it, and I decided to, since I had a new roommate, I'm like, and another person had moved out of that bigger room, I thought I'll take the bigger room and just have it all to myself. I had went to bed early because I was very tired on that job, and I woke up to what sounded, it was super cold. It was super, super cold. I woke up to the bone chilling cold. This was in November. And all of a sudden, I couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't move. I was like, what is going on? I couldn't move. And I just heard this like hurricane wind. Super, super. It felt so cold in there and just wind blowing everywhere. It just sounded like a hurricane. And then I heard what sounded like sheets flapping or something flapping, really loud, really big, just really just oh. And all of a sudden, I felt something on me, like a bear hug, like a very strong grip bear hug, and I was terrified. I didn't know what was going on. I just stayed still and didn't move. And then I felt an electrical current going up and down my body from my toes up to my head, and just an electrical current. And I wasn't feeling good at that time. And so I didn't know what was going on. I didn't understand what was going on. And so this thing, whatever it was very, I could feel giant hands on me, giant hands, and it was very strong. I couldn't move. I could barely breathe. And it this went on for like 10 minutes, and I was out of my mind, freaking out. And then
I mean, it was
it
like
let
hugging
go
you or holding it for 10 minutes.
for 10 minutes, yeah, with the electrical thing going up and down my body. It was almost like a ring of electricity. It felt like a ring of electricity going with both of us. And the flapping had stopped. I mean, it was on me, and it was just huge. And when it was done, the wind came back. It sounded like a hurricane again. I thought the room must have been absolutely trashed. And the flapping happened again, and then it faded away, and I woke up like a shot. I was totally wide awake when it was happening, but it let go of me, and I was able to open my eyes, and I looked around, and nothing was affected. I was like, "What is going on?" So, after that had happened, I got up and I ran out there, and I was screaming hysterically. And I was like, "There's a demon in there. It scared me. There's something going on." And they were just poo-pooing me, saying, "You just had a bad dream," or something like that. And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't think so." But yeah, they just laughed at me, and I thought I was going crazy. They thought I was going crazy. It was terrifying. And yeah, that. I was curious when I went home. I wonder, would this come back? I wonder if it would come back. So I had
So, in other words,
prayed.
now when you were there at this Angeles National Park in San Bernardino County?
No, this is in LA.
Oh, in
This is in
LA.
LA.
Okay.
Yeah, this is in LA. And but I did kind of ask it to show up where I lived in Huntington Beach, and it showed up again.
You had
And
finished
it
your
did the
stint
same
with
thing.
the Forestry Service, or you were just, that's where you commuted to go home in Huntington?
Yeah, that's where I went home. I lived in Huntington, and I went to work up in the Angeles. And in this instance, yeah, it did show up again. Absolutely. After that, I never had it come back. It scared me pretty good. But yes, it did happen twice. Once in the Angeles and once down at Huntington Beach.
The second time, it's because you asked it to come into your house.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I did. So, and I was healed. I mean, I was really sick when it showed up in the Angeles, and I was healed. I felt a lot better. So, yeah, that was a very enlightening experience to things that we cannot see and we don't understand. So that actually, again, that was starting me down the road to finding out what was going on and what are these things.
What about the ET element? Did it come and go, or was it fairly constant throughout your life and well into adulthood? Or was
Well,
it,
see,
did it?
when I was younger, I didn't know what it was. The thing about the high desert, and that's where a lot of this thing started, was mostly in the high desert. And I had had, I would say, the first inkling towards the alien thing was in 1986, where I had had a dream in a apartment I was in, and the dream was about fighting aliens. Like, we were at war, humans versus aliens. And the aliens in the dream, which it seemed a very realistic dream, I remember it very vividly, and they were the same aliens that ended up later in the movie Independence Day. And in the dream, they were two separate, very scary aliens. And I was, when I saw that movie Independence Day and I saw the aliens, I was completely blown away. So yeah, they were scary. They weren't friendly. They were definitely wanting to take over humans. And so in the dream, I was one of the ones fighting them. And I, ever since then, in the high desert, I've had this feeling like they don't like me and they don't want me alive. And I've had a lot of incidents where I've been near death. I don't even know why I'm still here, but I am. And I fight them. I don't like them.
Like him either. Did you mean that you had near-death experiences too?
When I was not that long ago, in about 10 years ago, I was in my bedroom in Apple Valley, and my daughter was sleeping with me in the bed, and she had said she had woke up and she saw something that was approximately 10 feet tall, and it looked like a tall white, and it had some sort of device in its hand. And it was standing over me in the corner of the room. And that was the night I had my stroke. And the stroke was strange. I was 45 years old. I wasn't very old. And I'm not sure what exactly happened, why it happened. And I've had trouble with my blood pressure ever since. Now, it could be explained away with environmental things. I was in a house full of cigarette smoke, stuff like that, but it hadn't bothered me my whole life, and I was under a lot of stress, but that was very strange. And my daughter had said she had seen reptilian creatures walking around the house all the time. She was little back then. She doesn't remember it now very much, but she did say she had seen eyes, the reptilian eyes, just the eyes walking around. She goes, "Mom," we were both awake one time, and she goes, "Mom, they're walking around right now here in this room, and I didn't see anything." That was one of the times. See, prior, before that, in the other haunted house, she had said she had seen some things there. And I will say this, before I sold my mother's house in Apple Valley, my sister and I were talking to each other out in the back porch area, and or no, patio area. We were outside, we're in the patio area, and we were laughing and joking, and right in front of me, her eyes got really huge and wide, and she was literally smashed onto the ground. Like flat, and the chair she was sitting on was smashed flat too, right in front of me. I didn't see anything that was doing it, and I went over to help her get up, and she couldn't get up. With all my strength, I couldn't get her up off the ground, and finally, and she couldn't breathe. She was saying, I can't breathe." And finally, whatever it was, let go of her, and she instantly started crying hysterically. And I helped her get up, and she said that something huge, muscular, and white, whitish gray, came at her, and its giant hand had her on, it was on her chest. It took up her, and she's a big girl, and it took up her entire chest, and that's what was smashing her on the ground. And she couldn't see its face, but she said it was huge and muscular and white. And I suspect that was a reptilian.
Yes, a
And
white
in
reptilian or a white Draco, perhaps.
exactly. So, and she said it was huge. And that's when she decided, we're selling this house. I want nothing to do with it anymore. So yeah, we sold it short very quickly after. But yeah, that was pretty terrifying. And I mean, it was right in front of me. I didn't see anything, but she sure did.
You were
So
there in
that's.
the high desert in particular. Did you ever notice? This has come up in other people's accounts. It may not have happened with you, but just curious. Any kind of surveillance activity, helicopters, mysterious people watching the house?
Definitely helicopters. Definitely helicopters. I remember just several times walking out in my yard, and all of a sudden there'd be a helicopter just booking it out there, and it go, and I'm like, just a regular house out in the desert, and there would be a helicopter going around and around, and where I'm standing, it was just watching me. and going around and around like 50 times. I'm like, what? And I'm like looking at them because it's bright sunshine, and I'm like, what are you doing? And it would do that for a long, and then it would just leave, and it would do that periodically.
Did you
So
ever
that was,
catch a
go
glimpse
ahead.
of any people, any men that were coming around or acting mysteriously?
I didn't say anything like that because it's very hard to sneak up on you in the desert. It's just so much open space. They couldn't do it like that. But my mother had spoke a few times of strange incidents. She's actually had a lot more because that was her home. She was there all the time, and she had actually spoke about and this and my I guess my nephew saw it too. Is that she was out there in the yard, and this was around maybe early 2000s. And my no yeah my nephew was about 10 or 12 years old, and she was out there watering the yard, and there was a house across the way, and she said she literally saw a ship come straight up from behind the house, and it blinked. And then it was right over her house. And she's like, what? And she drew a picture of it. She said it looked like an iron, and it was hovering above the house. We had a TV antenna, and it was almost touching it. So that was only like 30 feet. It was very close. She was able to see detail. She did draw it. I don't know what happened to the drawing, but she did say that it was super close, and it was just hovering there for a little while. And she was just standing there with the hose going, what is going on? And she was calling for my nephew. She was screaming, going, telling him to hurry up and come see it. And he did finally go out there, and it had blinked again, and it appeared like about like a quarter mile away. And that's when he saw it. And then it blinked again, and it was heading towards Big Bear, heading towards Lucerne. And they just watched it as it would just blink from one spot to another until they couldn't see it anymore. So that was interesting.
You mean like you didn't see it traverse the intervening distance? It was just blinking in one spot and then suddenly it was blinking in another spot?
Exactly. Yes. And she had spoke of another time that she was, it was early in the morning, and the dogs were just going off. They were just being really loud, and she's out there, and all of a sudden she looked up and she saw a vehicle that had no wheels, and it was floating in the air. It was about 5 in the morning, and it was floating in the air, and there was a bunch of people in it, and they were laughing and joking. And they were literally going by the road, or not even a road. It's just, it was desert. And they were just floating by, and she was staring at them, and they were staring at her. And she just watched them until they disappeared.
So this was a vehicle, except it was above the ground. It wasn't wheels down
Yes.
on the ground.
Nope, there were no wheels on it. And she thought that was really bizarre. I will say this much, there has been a lot of military running through the desert in
Yes.
various vehicles. Yes.
I'm glad she mentioned that because in some of my MyLab experiences, and I recounted this recently when I was on Derek and Daniel's show in the recent past.
Okay.
I've always likened it. For shorthand, I always said, well, I was in a vehicle, I was in a car, but I wasn't sure about that because there are some types of conveyances similar in a way to Luke Skywalker's land
Yes,
speeder,
yes,
where you don't
yes.
really see it, wheels down, right? It just seems to
Right.
like glide above the ground. And I think there are times when either ETs are driving those or like a military element is driving those. Because I
Yes.
remember Bill Hamilton's story when he and his wife Pam were at the black mailbox, I think they were. It's not black anymore. It's all like padlocked and chained and it's been painted white. but because
Oh,
too many
wow.
people were stealing it as a souvenir. But
Sure.
anyway, they were out there one night, and Bill was very assiduous about checking the time, right, in case of missing time. And so
Right.
there was this strange vehicle that drove by right by them, which didn't make any noise at all. And then
Right.
he thought that was odd, right? Then he looked down at his watch, and like 17 minutes had elapsed from the last time he checked. And he was so angry, he was jumping up and down, stomping his feet. And so they went back to the little alien because they were renting out a double wide trailer there. And
Right.
they call them a demountable in some places. But anyway, so they went to bed, and then Bill sat up bolt upright in the middle of the night and started screaming because he had this flashback memory of being placed on a table that was tilted up at like a 45 degree angle, and there was a tall gray examining him, right? So
Right.
he went through the regression, long story short, while Pam was taken into like a weird high-tech van by these
Right.
guys that were kind of mercenary black SWAT outfits, dark Oakley type wraparound glasses in the middle of the night, and
Right.
black ball caps. They had to like adjust some implant in her left eye, and she noticed that inside this van it was lined with all this high-tech equipment. And meanwhile, Bill was taken on board a flying saucer and examined by the tall gray. The tall gray told him, you're about to have a heart attack. We have to bring your heart rate down." Understandable, right? So they did something
Right.
to him, and the alien mentioned to him, "Are you aware that your military is experimenting with time at this base?" Referring to Area 51, right? So the reason I
Right.
brought it up was, when your mom saw that type of vehicle, that conveyance that didn't seem to have any wheels, and Whitley's
Right.
fever, I think it was in Communion, not, no, it was in Transformation, his second book,
Okay.
he talked about
Okay.
being in like this conveyance, and the inside, it was reminiscent of a vehicle, a car, but it was
Right.
being crewed, piloted by human looking presumably aliens, and they went flying
Right.
around in it, right? So I can't
Right.
help but thinking that there were there times in a dream or a MyLab experience I've had when I thought I was in a car, but I was really in one of those types of conveyances, right? And maybe
Right,
just out
right.
of phase of the regular time continuum. So on top of being in a fancy schmancy vehicle, I was kind of like unseen or in another phase of reality or something. I don't know, but it's very
Yes,
interesting that you
yes.
should bring that up.
Yeah, she's seen a few strange things. She also said, and this was starting about, she's been passed away about 5 years now, but about 10 years before that, she was, because I had, experiences in that other really scary haunted house in Apple Valley about, reptilians. And she laughed at me, and so did my sister. They don't laugh anymore. My sister doesn't. But my mother had said that, she was had laughed at me before, and then all of a sudden one day she came to me and she goes, "Remember when you were talking about, lizard people?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "They're talking to me now. They're scary. I don't like them. They're very evil." And they're having one-way conversations with me. I have to listen. They don't care what I have to say. They're just telling me things. And I'm like, wow, okay. And
The
she
same thing
had
they
been
did to
saying,
Lorena, just to interject for a second, my friend Lorena that
oh,
lived there, they did this
okay.
a similar thing where like she was just like a captive audience. They would just tell her all these
Yes.
different things. But please continue.
Yes. Yeah. And they were talking about AI. They said, we are AI, and you're not going to get out of it. You're all going to be AI. You're all going to be, part of it. You're not going to get out of it. And my mom had did try to say, "Look, I don't want any part of it. I don't want to be AI. I don't want to be a robot." And they said, "You have no choice. and they had terrorized her for a number of years. And what they have a tendency to do is, if they ask you to do something, which she never told me what they asked her to do, or if she didn't do what they asked her to do, they would hurt her pets, kill them, just torture them, kill them. So she got scared. She was like, these things are nasty. They are straight evil. And she said that they actually, a quote that is just sticks with me forever is that she goes, they told her that we are the vampires and the demons of old. That was us.
Referring to themselves.
Referring to themselves.
Yes, the ones that were messing with Lorena and by extension messing with me, because like what happened to you, similar to that entity or intelligence, whatever it was that followed you home and came to your house for, by invitation. Well, I've told the story before, I won't get into it, but there was a time when I had driven back from Lorena's house in Apple Valley, about 2.5 hour drive, Highway 15, 215, back to 15, all the way back down to San Diego. And that night, I'm laying in bed. I have the little spotlight down, aiming down at me so I can read myself to sleep. And then eventually I fell asleep and I was rolled over on my side. And I caught a glimpse of what I first thought was a very tall soldier with something swishing around behind it, right? Because it was, I thought it was wearing like a khaki uniform, but it was very tall and it jabbed me at the base of my spine, like an epidural right at the base of my spine. And I, cried out in pain and then passed out. And then the next morning I had a terrible back pain at that spot, a splitting headache, explosive diarrhea. I won't get into it all, but anyway, it dawned on me that, and I went to an urgent care center. And I told her I had this crazy experience last night that it seemed to me like a big soldier rolled me over on my spine and stuck a needle in my, rolled me over on my
Back.
side and stuck a needle at the base of my spine. And she confirmed it. She touched it. There is a puncture wound there. There is a hypodermic needle puncture wound there. And then I realized when I really thought about it, that had to be a reptilian because it followed me from Lorena's place. The thing swishing around behind it was his tail, and it was right after, like what happened with your mom a lot. The reptilians would tell Lorena stuff. She said they're going to start messing with us and going after us, right? And so at the exact same time, I had a splitting headache, back pain, and explosive diarrhea. Lorena's husband and her son were having the exact same symptoms. Yeah.
I was sick a lot. I was sick quite often over the years, So just something about that, their presence is, it makes us sick. Oh yes, my mother, who was an X-ray technician, did say that they liked, because she had asked them, she did start to talk back to them because she's like, I got questions, I gotta know. And she had asked them, she goes, why are you doing this? What is it about here that you want? What do you want? And they had explained to her that they want the planet, and they want it warmer and wetter with a little bit more radiation, because that's where they're from. They like it, not nuclear war level radiation, but they like a little bit more radiation. And I thought that was interesting. And she was telling me things. They would get mad when she would tell me things, but it makes me wonder, well, then don't tell her things. She won't tell me things. They had explained that they prefer it underground, and that they're underground. The entire high desert is honeycombed with caves, wet caves. We all know that there's an aquifer down there, and that's where they live. They flat out told her, yeah, we're down there. We're right beneath you. So the as far as I know, the high desert, there's a hive of them.
Because when naval intelligence started messing with us, they'd already been messing with Lorena, had previously messed with me when I was younger, especially. But
Right.
when I was doing all those investigations in the high desert, I guess they figured, okay, well, we got them all in one place, right? So, and
Right.
you know, the reach is such that it didn't matter that Lorena lived in Apple Valley, that Craig Bowers lived in Vegas, that I lived in San Diego, that E.B. Lorgan lived in Fallbrook. They can just nab us all, as you know. And on one
Right.
occasion, they took several of us underground, the Navy did, and showed us this underground, like, river stream system, right?
Yes,
And there,
yes.
it was like they were doing this guided tour, showing us the flora and the fauna, and they also showed us this eel type creature in the water, and they said it had some telepathic ability, like it could talk to you, right? And I guess you have to be kind of psychically attuned for to have some kind of dialogue going or whatever, but I
Right.
remember that, and we talked about it after, well, we all woke up the next morning about, you know, what it was that we experienced. But yes, that whole area is honeycombed with tunnel systems, natural cavern systems, and what
Yeah.
have you. What else did they say? Because there does seem to be this terraforming effort at work. Did they say they wanted it wetter and hotter?
Yeah. They want the above ground to be wetter and hotter with a little bit more radiation, not a lot, but more radiation, more than we humans can currently stand. But it
Well,
would be comfortable for them.
yes, and that explains in part the global terraforming chemtrailing agenda, because I'm satisfied.
Yes.
Perhaps some of these chemtrail planes are piloted by human crews, but I would say the majority of them at this point, and also all the anomalies that mainstream chemtrail researchers just blithely ignore, like a chemtrail
Right.
plane emitting a plume behind it flies into a cloud bank, doesn't fly out the other end, or
Right. I've seen that. I've seen
yes.
that here in Arizona. I have seen them just disappear, and I'm like,
Yes.
huh.
Or they pop
Yeah.
out they pop out the other end as orbs or all kinds of strange stuff. And when you zoom in on the video and look at the stills, these aren't airplanes. You see a fuselage, cylindrical kind of construct, what
Right.
passes for, I guess, for illusionary purposes, little stubby wings that you makes you scratch
Right.
your head. How does it even hold the thing up? And sometimes the wings are detached. You can't even see a connection between the stubby wings and the fuselage. So it's just
Right.
fakery is what it is. And there are so many times in Arizona, and then also where I'm at, when there was a lot of bad chem spraying in Australia where I'm at, there would be several in the sky or more at one time,
Right.
different altitudes going in different directions. This was especially the case in Arizona. And the
Right.
whole sky would be crisscrossed with chemtrails, that hazy kind of perma chemtrail haze. And
Right.
yeah, and clearly I'm satisfied now it's an alien agenda.
Yeah, I suspect so. Why would humans do that? They are talking about, trying to make things darker. I guess that's something that Gates is talking about, trying to make the skies darker. I don't know if it's true or accurate, but they were
He's
talking
talking about
about a
blocking the
new,
sun. He's talking about blocking the sun for some weird reptile
blocking the
reason.
sun. Right. And they do like it dark. They do like it dark too. They like to sit out in the sun like lizards, and that's something other people, I mean, people probably don't can't imagine that, but yes, they are lizards. They like to sit out in the sun. That is common in the high desert. My mom, my sister, and my daughter had heard flapping in the bright daylight. They couldn't see anything, but they heard flapping. All I didn't hear this. That's what's so strange. I did not hear this. But they did. They heard flapping during the day and a noise that sounded like a dinosaur. And they didn't see anything, but they could hear it.
There have been pterosaurs that have been seen there. As a
Oh,
matter of
okay.
fact, Lorena took me to the house of a friend of hers in Apple Valley. And she was telling us, because not only were adult reptilians and immature juvenile reptilians, even baby reptilians, were coming in and out of the portals in Lorena's house. But it
Right.
emerged that a friend of hers that she'd met somehow was having the similar issues, right?
Right,
Of
right.
like little reptilians running behind dressers and disappearing because there's a portal there or whatever. And this lady
Right.
that she introduced me to, she said that there was like this pterosaur that was perched either at times on the roof, the apex of her roof, right?
Right,
Or
right.
in a tall branch in a nearby tree. And they can just look up at night. They could see it. It looked like a bloody pterosaur, right? Like you would see in
Right.
Jurassic Park or something. And she said that
Right.
there were the times that she saw this thing fly, right? Like it would like leap
Right.
off the branch and fly. She said she could feel the heavy airwaves from the flapping,
Right.
like whoosh,
Right.
whoosh. It was
Right.
just like, and also the aforementioned Craig Bowers, he and his late wife, who I've had on the show, Marianne Fisher, they were in South Carolina several years back. They're out in the country and they're sitting there by their campfire. They got a little stone circle campfire thing going there. And it was during the daytime though, but they look up and they see this big pterosaur flying around in big lazy circles. And those big pterosaurs have, like I said, have been seen in the Apple Valley and in Victorville area too. So my guess is they're either coming out, a combination of coming out of tunnel systems
The
or at
ground.
the ground, and or they're physical, but they're coming out of portals as well, like perhaps
Yeah.
portal systems in the sky or portals in the ground. But please continue.
There was other incidents with the kids. We had a shed. We had sheds, and this is during the day. Sometimes it was at night. The kids would go out there to spend the night, but it didn't matter when, but they would hear scratchings along the side of the building, and they would see shadows run by the window, but they look out and there's nothing there. They could hear things on the roof, and they were scrabbling of claws on the roof. They heard all kinds of weird noises, and it would be day or night, it didn't matter. And I can honestly say I did see that. I went out there one time, I'm like, I want to see what you guys are talking about. And this was during the day, and I sat in there, and I was like, I could hear the scratchings. And I went outside, there's no weeds, no plants anywhere near the shed. So I'm like, so what's making the scratching outside? And then you can hear things on the roof, and this is bright daylight. And they were really terrified at night. They would come running back, and they would ask me to come out there and get them. I'm like, okay, I'll come get you. So all the kids heard it, teenagers, and they didn't like sleeping out there anymore. So that was very strange. And this started happening about 6 years ago. So it wasn't that long ago. And it just seems like the high desert is really becoming a negative place. There's a lot more murders. There's a lot more violence. There's a lot of just very bizarre things going on in the high. It's not a good place right now. And I think they're feeding off all that negativity.
And also,
Not to
I'm sure you're
missing
aware of
people.
the missing people. I'm sure you're aware of the tweaker crank crystal meth syndrome. It's really big in the high desert, and the entities
Yes.
just jump into people when they're
Yep.
all tweaked out on meth. I mean, and that's a factor
Yes.
too, because I think now more than ever, I don't think there's ever been a time in recorded history when there's so many entity possessed, malignly influenced, spiritually malignly
Yes.
influenced people as ever before. I
Yeah.
think that now it just sheer numbers is through the roof now.
Right. Right. I will say this much. My mother did indulge in alcohol, and that's when she really was messed with. And near the end of her life, she went from 10 years before saying they were evil, scary, and all that stuff, to near the end of her life, she said, one of the last things she said to me was, why don't you try talking to them? No. I told her, no, mom, I'm never going to talk to them. No, thank you. So I thought that was very strange. So she was starting to get taken over by these things. They were oppressing her like possession, like demons. Like they said, we were the vampires and demons of old. So they were starting to mess with her. They were possessing her. And she passed away. And then I think it went into my sister because she started acting just like my mother. And she was, and then.
Well, in the time we got in this first segment, tell us briefly, and then we'll delve into it more in the second half, about how your mom's behavior changed. Did she ever report any sexual assaults from the reptilians? Did your sister report any of that? Did you experience any of that?
I did. I was messed with absolutely by those things, probably since my teens, because I didn't know what they were for the longest time. It was just very strange. I don't know about my mother, and my sister. They were just terrorized by them. And it usually when they were not sober, and they would just have this feeling of darkness, just sad and depressed and easily manipulated with their minds, and they were awful to be around. Angry, violent, and then they wouldn't remember afterwards.
You report seeing little black balls flying around in their close proximity, or little orbs flying around.
Oh, we had all kinds of things. Not only was that one other house I lived in Apple Valley very haunted, but so was my mother's place. We had Christmas ornaments floating in the air. We had my sister and I were in the living room one time, and there was a ghostly thing that just went right through the living room, right in the middle of us, just right there. And it was just like, it was an early evening. We've had, I myself, this is interesting that thank you for reminding me. I was sitting in the living room, it's daylight, and I did see something in the hallway. Now, the whole time I lived there, we all sensed something hostile living in the house. And the hallway, which is a very tiny hallway, was a hot spot, and so were various other places in the house. But the hallway was the worst. And this particular day, I was there by myself, and I saw a half, what's that word? It was halfway in and out of
Translucent,
dimensions.
like you can see through it.
Yes, and but part of it, I could see it very clearly, and it looked like it was trying to look like a tall white. But it was terrible looking. I'm like, and I literally laughed at it, and I go, "Your disguise is terrible. That's just not very good. You need to get a better disguise." And it gave me a very angry look, and I could see its sharp teeth, which that's not usually a tall white. So it had
A
very, so I knew it
reptilian.
was a reptilian, and it was pissed because I could see it. It was half materialized in the hallway. And I laughed at it. So it was, yeah, it probably hates
Yeah,
me to this day.
remind me to
So,
tell you about some of the hallway stories at Lorena's house when me and
ooh.
Craig Bowers had planted a sound monitoring device. And also the reptilians on at least one occasion. They appeared to Lorena when she was laying in bed, and they were pretending to be. It was either a case of them pretending to be tall grays, but she could see that, behind the black eyepieces, she could see the vertical pupils, right? So it was either a hybrid of between the grays and the reptilians, but definitely with reptilian DNA. Or the reptilians are pretending to be tall grays because they pretend to be Nordics, they pretend to be military. I mean, it runs the gamut of what they pretend to be at times.
And whatever it was with the particular device over me during my stroke. My daughter said that it looked like a tall white, but it had sharp teeth. And I think that's a giveaway because I don't think they have sharp teeth, the
Yeah,
whites or the grays. I don't think
to
they
me
have
that's a
teeth.
giveaway. Well, we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our guest, Connie Stinson. Connie, would you rather have my listeners contact you or message you through me, or would you be comfortable leaving with an email address or whatever you're comfortable with?
They can contact you through you.
That's great. And to our dear listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We're just getting started with Connie. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.